This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at HowieCarShow.com/Thor. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I have been telling people consistently that if you're vaccinated and boosted and you have a family setting in the home with family and relatives, but when you're talking about a New Year's Eve party, we have 30, 40, 50 people celebrating. You do not know the status of their vaccination. I would recommend strongly stay away from that this year. There will be other years to do that, but not this year.
You surprised? Surprised, Eddie? If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas as well. Merry Christmas, and let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
Oh, he admitted it.
But I don't think it's fundamentally about incivility. I think it is fundamentally about insurrection.
And togetherness and community, all convalescences into morale.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
All right. Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary. Hopefully, Howie is enjoying a vacation week around the holidays down in sunny Florida while we suffer up here in the cold and brutal winter of... Actually, it's been a pretty mild winter. I'll take it when we can get it. But somebody else who's enjoying the weather down in sunny Florida is a good friend, Rob Pincus, who's joining us on the line right now. And Rob, good talking to you as always. How are you today?
I'm doing great, but I'm in sunny Colorado.
Oh, it says Jacksonville, Florida. I never know where you are. You're here, there, and everywhere. So I just threw a dart and hoped I hit. But how's the weather in Colorado?
Good chances.
Yeah,
it's sunny. I actually went to lunch with a friend, and we were talking about it. The 40s here is, you know, the sun, we're up a mile high, obviously. We've got the sun beats down pretty hot. And when it's not windy, 45 here is T-shirt weather, long sleeve weather anyway. So it's not Florida, but it's also not chilly, cold East Coast weather. So
I would say that Denver is very similar to the East Coast in one regard. And it's, if you don't like the weather, wait a minute, because it can change quick.
Yeah. it'll be coat weather in 20 minutes after the sun goes down here. But anyway, I'm enjoying the holidays. I was back east. I got to see some family and stopped in Nashville, saw my daughter, and now I'm back here in Colorado looking around at everything that's been going on around the country. And some of it involves firearms and you know, trying to put out a lot of training and information for the people that are new firearms owners is part of what happens every time every year at the holidays. But this year, it really seems like even more than ever, people are looking for that information.
Mm. Yeah, you know, that's obviously, we had a good discussion earlier about, you know, training. We had a caller who was involved in a shooting incident when he was a young boy and whatnot. And then, you know, I told him that was kind of the basis for us opening a gun range, was to not just have a place for people to shoot, but also provide them good training. And, you know, you see these news reports coming out on these huge surges in gun sales. And, you know, we've certainly partaken of that at Cape Gunworks, but there's been a lot of guns sold in the last year. And so that means there's probably a lot of new shooters. And there's some estimates from 6 to 7, maybe even 8 million new shooters in the last year. And if that's the case, you know, where do those people go, or what should they be doing in order to become a responsible gun owner? And how do they, you know, go ahead.
One of the great things about it, you know, your shop is one of the best examples of this, because you not only sell responsible storage devices, safes, including quick access safes and lock boxes and things like that, but you've got them on prominent display, right? It's something that everybody, you know, anybody's going to see it in there. Nobody's going to want for knowledge or opportunity to have a place to store their gun at Cape Gunworks. And that's really the most important thing. You know, I can remember it used to be an afterthought, you know, obviously as someone who runs Personal Defense Network and teaches all over the world and certifies instructors to teach and, you know, gets out on the range with people. I think a lot about that training and responsibility of being able to handle the gun and then carry the gun in public if that's your primary intention, or protect your family at home or your workplace, whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, our first responsibility as gun owners is to prevent unauthorized access to the gun. And you know, we can be a little bit tongue-in-cheek and say that that includes you if you just bought your first gun and don't have training, so make sure you go get the training. But the reality is keeping it secure, not just from burglars, but from the curious, you know, the lock that keeps the honest man honest kind of thing when it comes to your teenagers. You know, maybe that even means you locking your gun up when you have a few drinks here around the holidays and not carrying your gun when you're drinking at holiday parties and things like that. These are the components of responsibility that I think even those of us in the training world don't talk enough about. And you know what? They're simple. They're easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And we had that conversation a little earlier with Michael Sondini from Walk the Talk America about that intersection between, you know, mental health and guns and whatnot and having the conversation, but more importantly, rolling up the sleeves and actually doing something about it. And that's really where the rubber meets the road. That's how we actually make significant change, is by doing something about it and not just, and you know, my paradigm has shifted on this. When I was an 18-year-old and lived alone, my gun lock, quote unquote, was the front door. You know what I mean? And now with now with a family of, you know, five and people coming in and out of the house and everything, you know, I had a major paradigm shift. So that's something that a lot of people don't realize. Is, you know, you're not just, like you said, you might even have to lock it up, not for yourself, but just take that temptation away or take the instant access away or something. But more importantly, get help if you need it.
For sure. Yeah. When it comes to the mental, obviously, I'm on the board of Walk Talk America. I knew Michael was going to be on earlier. He, I'm sure, spoke eloquently and thoroughly about what it is we do and why it's so important to be proactive in your mental health care. But when it comes to the temporary things, and I consider alcohol, you know, a temporary impairment, right? I mean, we've come a long way in this country when it comes to drinking and driving, right? Hardly anybody can go anywhere anymore without a friend saying, hey, are you okay to drive if you've had more than one drink? I got to ask the question, are you okay to carry? And I think the simple no. You know, if you've been drinking, no, you shouldn't be carrying. Here's one of the things. You said something about a paradigm shift. Well, if I had a dollar for everything that I look back on, and I wouldn't do it that way now, right? I'd be a rich guy for sure. One of those things is the gun time show and tell during the dinner party or during the poker game or during, you know, the friend comes over to have a few beers and watch the game. We shouldn't be doing show and tell with our guns. So I always tell people, look, I got a house full of guns. You probably saw something I put on social media. Is there any gun you want to check out before we open the whiskey or the wine or whatever it is? With the 3D gun, you know, the printing, the 3D printing and the gun making stuff I'm doing, I always do the show and tell before we break out that alcohol, because I think that's really important too. Not just because of my own, you know, potential impairment, but somebody else who may not even be a gun person, they're gun curious. I want to set the right example for them, right?
Right.
Like when they come over, I don't want to be three beers in, two or three whiskey tastings in, and say, okay, now's the time to play with guns. So that's another simple thing we can do as gun owners and say, you know, I'd love to show you my gun. I'm glad you're interested in it, but let's go to the range, or maybe, you know, come over on a Saturday afternoon before the poker game starts, and we'll spend an hour going over the guns in my collection or how to use them, and basic safety, basic fundamental operations, things like that. But let's not do it during that holiday party with the alcohol in the system. You know, that's a simple one too.
Yeah, you raise a good point. And some of the better places of doing that is at the range. And fortunately, I have access to one. But if you don't, you know, maybe you have to drive out into the countryside, or you got to be a member of a local gun club or something like that. But that's really the best part, is getting that new shooter out there and kind of showing off your collection and showing them, you know, giving them examples of what to shoot, how to shoot, and, you know, having fun out at the range, having a good day on the range and in a very safe way. And then, you know, celebrate after, so to speak, you know.
Absolutely.
When the guns are
still. I would advise, you know, I know you got a lot of gun owners that listen to this show, so I think it's important that everybody remembers we're all ambassadors, you know, for responsible gun ownership as well. So if you know that person who got a gun, you don't have to just kind of, you know, tell them to go get training, but maybe go with them, you know.
Right.
Tell them, hey, I've been shooting for 20, 30, 40 years, whatever it is you've been shooting, but you could still go take a class too, take it with them, you know, introduce them to an instructor if you know who that instructor is. So don't just pat them on the back and give them a thumbs up and a yay America, but also give them the resources, you know. And again, personaldefensenetwork.com is full of free information, as you know, articles and videos collected and curated over the last 15 years from some of the best instructors in the country. And people can certainly take online classes with us and things like that. But thousands of pieces of free information are available there as well.
Yeah. And a lot of good resources. The internet is full of it, but the Personal Defense Network is a concentration of really good advice and training and tips and articles. And I reference it all the time, and I enjoy it. And, you know, I appreciate what you do for the gun industry and the gun community. You're the hardest working man in this industry. And I appreciate it. What do you got coming up real quick before the break? Anything major?
We're going to do another instructor development course. You know, we just finished up an instructor development course in Nevada. We're going to do another one in February. And we're running a lot of our gun making clinics. So like the one that you host, back in, I guess it was November, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was early December. We had one at Cape Gunworks. We're going to be doing another one of those in Massachusetts with Patriot Trick. We're going to be doing one out at Triple J Armory in Denver. And then the big gun makers match. People can learn more about that, private gun making. Surprisingly to some, legal in Massachusetts and most other states, you can make your own gun and then come join us in Florida, sunny Florida, March 19th for the Gun Makers Match, the second annual. And gunmakersmatch.com has all of that information. We do that in conjunction with Guns for Everyone, also based out here in Denver. So lots of good stuff coming in. And of course, we'll have our training tour. The Personal Defense Network training tour will kick off also in March down in Florida, and that'll take us all over the country. We'll have 10 or 12 instructors, you know, those final details still being worked out, 10 to 12 instructors this year. We expect to have about 125 classes at over 50 locations around the country. So
awesome.
People can learn more about that also through personaldefensenetwork.com or pdntrainingtour.com.
And we will make sure that you are one of the stops. One of the stops is Cape Gunworks, as usual. But Rob, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it. And keep doing what you're doing. You're a great advocate for the 2A community, and we appreciate everything you do. So we'll have you on again for sure. All right. We will be right back after this. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary.
Did you miss part of today's show?
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Just search Howie Carr on your favorite podcast app and listen anywhere, anytime.
Can all be quiet and peaceable and have a few beers together and listen to the music and not make any wrong moves.
Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary, and I'll be here for the rest of the hour. So glad you're here listening. If you want to join us, you can call in at 844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. And today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. So go to J.J. Manning. And what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far, Jared?
After Fauci said no New Year's Eve parties, how likely are you to go to one? Less likely, more likely, or I don't go to parties anyway?
Well, I am going to say I am more likely to go to a New Year's Eve party.
56% of the audience says they are more likely. 43% say I don't go to parties anyway. And 1% say they're less likely. We knew somebody would spoil the shutout once we mentioned it, just to be a contrarian.
Somebody had to lay down a bunt with bases empty in the ninth inning.
Of a no-hitter.
And just ruined the no-hitter, and he beat out the throw because no one was even playing for the bunt. It's unbelievable.
Exactly.
Well, I'm surprised, I got to say. I figured there would be a few more people who would, you know, who would definitely take the advice. But I digress. And I'm shocked it's that close. I thought it would be like 85 to 15. 15% wouldn't go to parties, but there you have it. There's, I guess people just aren't very festive, even in the holiday year. I say they got to get out and meet some people. That's all I got to say about that. But all right. Well, thank you for that. And before the break, I alluded to some of the stories I've been trying to get to all day in the stack of stuff. And one of them was the two Democratic supporters who support police reform were carjacked last week, and both within 24 hours. I actually thought I was reading the same article when I saw the second story come out so soon after. And then I realized different state, different people.
I can't believe those racist guns actually carjacked someone.
It's amazing. And, you know, these two are really in favor of police reform. They want to, you know, defund the police, and yet here they are being carjacked. Illinois, of all places, I can't believe Illinois has succumbed to this carjacking. You'd never have thought it. But anyway, Kimberly Lightford, not to be confused with Lori Lightfoot, was targeted in suburban Chicago Tuesday night, while Congressman Mary Gay Scanlon was carjacked Wednesday afternoon in an event in South Philadelphia. Lightford was driving with her husband, Eric McKinney, in Broadview around 9:45 p.m. when three masked suspects in a Durango SUV hijacked the couple's black Mercedes. People said multiple gunshots were fired. And you know what's interesting about this New York Post article? I read the whole thing, and it never mentions that Eric McKinney is a lawful gun owner who fired in defense of himself and his wife.
I'm shocked.
Why did I not read that in this article? I had to go dig the internet to actually get that part of the story out there. And what's even funnier is Kimberly Lightford, who, you know, is in favor of police reform, was thankful that her husband had a concealed weapons permit and was able to defend the country. I mean, defend the couple as they were driving home. Now, I wonder if, like, those people in that community are afforded that same privilege as Congresswoman's, Senator Lightford's husband. And, you know, does the average person get that same type of protection under the Second Amendment? I wonder. Things that make you go, hmm.
Well, Chicago is MAGA country, apparently.
Apparently, so. You're right. So I guess I should not be surprised that he was a card-carrying member of the 2A community. However, I'm also curious if he was arrested and had his weapons seized while an investigation was underway.
Sounds like a red flag to me.
Hmm. Another thing that makes you go, hmm. But anyway, I am happy that he was able to use his gun to defend that situation. That's the way I personally feel.
Yeah, that's going to make it a little harder to say the good guy with a gun narrative doesn't work.
Mm.
Or that it's a right-wing talking point when it clearly is correct.
Right. Guns for everyone. That's the way I feel. Guns are for everyone. All right. So let's get back to the calls. I know Frank's been on for a while. So go ahead, Frank. You're next on the Howie Carr Show with Toby Leary. How are you?
Good. How are you? My question was, what were your thoughts on Smith & Wesson getting ready to leave the state? And are there any politicians in Massachusetts that even care that they're going to lose a major employer like that?
That's a great question, Frank. I actually toured the Smith & Wesson plant back in June and was talking with Mark Smith, the CEO of Smith & Wesson, and we were talking about the legislation that was proposed by their own representative in Springfield, Massachusetts, that would ban them from manufacturing any guns in the state that couldn't be sold in the state. So more about that after the break. We'll talk about that after this. But thanks for the call. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary, and I'm happy to be here in the chair and give Howie some much-deserved time off. So if you want to be a part of the show, dial 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. We'll be taking your calls for the rest of the show. So, Peter, I know you've been on hold for a while, so go ahead, Peter. You're next on the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Oh, you're welcome, too. And so I went to the market basket today and this morning, and I'm behind two women. And the younger woman, they're checking out, and she went after this old woman. She's 90 years old. I knew who the older woman was, okay? and she went after her and attacked her. You don't have a mask on.
Oh.
And so the other one said, and the older one said, well, you don't have a mask on either. And they came to fisticuffs, okay? And so it was really bad. And the old woman, who I know, she's a farm woman. She owns a farm here in New Hampshire. And she took her bag and she smacked her and gave her a haymaker and took her down on the floor. And that was the end of that and went away. And I followed the old woman out. She says, I know who you are, Pete Bailey. And I helped her home and followed her home. I'm going to help you home, and brought her groceries in and put away, and I went home on my own way.
Well, you're lucky she wasn't still all amped up from that altercation and turned the bag on you, Peter. I hope. Thankfully, you were able to de-escalate that situation and get home and be able to tell that story, because she sounds like a baller. I mean, she sounds like she doesn't take any crap from Karens, right?
All you young Karens, you think you know better. You don't.
Right.
Don't poke bears.
You don't want to poke the bear, that's for sure. And
you don't get to be 90 years old by being soft.
That's right. That's right. You gotta fight your way through life sometimes. And hey, that's a great story, and I'm glad the right person came out on top of that one. But, you know, as I was saying in the earlier hour, like, you feel like a Jerry Springer show is about to break out, you know, at any given moment in the checkout line or the gas line or the, you know, whatever. People seem to be a little tightly wound these days. And, you know, I proffered the question earlier, like, have you been confronted by the Karen? And I told my little story about my daughter and I back when, right before the mask mandates dropped, I was kind of done with it. And I went into a restaurant and ordered takeout. And next thing you know, I was going to be made famous by this video of the dude telling me it's the law to wear the mask and everything else. And I'm, you know what? At this point in my life, I do it when I have to. I'm just not going to do it when I don't have to. That's all the way there is. That's the way there is. But anyway, Joe, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Thanks for calling, Joe. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing well, thanks.
That's good. Stay that way. I have a question regarding the post office and firearms. I was an instructor for many years for the state and also the NRA, and you name it. And, you know, every once in a while, they change the laws, but they don't publicize them to people. I noticed in the post office, like, you're not supposed to bring a firearm in there. It's against the law, blah, blah, blah. But recently, I saw someone spell out all these different things, and it's also said that you could not be in the parking lot of a post office with a gun. But, you know, I know you can lock your gun up in your car, in your safety box, whatever, but being locked up in your safety box when you go into the post office because you can't bring it in, is that considered against the law?
You know, that's a great question, and I'd probably want to ask a lawyer that one, but I don't think I know you can't bring it into the post office. I didn't know about property outside. That doesn't make sense to me, because I know, like, federal parks. So the post office is a federal property, and you're not allowed to bring guns in most federal buildings or, you know, whatnot. But if you're on, like, a federal park, you're allowed to have the gun on the federal park, but you can't have it on you when you walk in to buy your camping pass or your you know, day pass for the park or whatever it is. So you're not allowed to bring them in the buildings on the federal parks, but you can have them on your property or on your person in the parks, the park service property. So I would assume the same would apply to the post office, but I don't want to give bad advice. So I would do a little research before you leave the gun in the car locked up. And incidentally, in Massachusetts, the gun must be unlocked if it's unloaded and locked if it's in the car. You can't just leave it loaded in the lockbox. So I just throw that out there. But unlike in a home where you could have it staged for defensive purposes and it could be locked, it could be loaded and locked. Locked and loaded. There you go. Maybe that's where that saying came from. No. Anyway, 844-500-4242. And that's a great question, Joe. And, you know, one thing that happens as a result of my radio show every week is it proves that there's, you know, the 30,000 gun laws that are on the books through federal and state laws and whatnot proves one thing, is that it's way too confusing. And it's as clear as mud. And almost half of my show is dedicated usually to just clearing up some laws and telling people how to comply, you know, with the laws and whatnot. And I know that isn't the framers' original intent, especially when they recognized our right, as Jared so eloquently put, that government doesn't give us these rights. They acknowledge our rights. And they put the wording in there in the acknowledgement of the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And yet we have 30,000 laws on the books that we have to try to memorize and be compliant with. And ignorance is no excuse for not knowing the law. And, you know, it's like, but you continually make laws that are confusing and arbitrary, and they don't do or accomplish what you set out to do. And so, frankly, hopefully a lot of these laws will go away and, in other words, clean it up and restore our rights. And let's get to the real crux of the matter, which is letting law enforcement continue to do their job, not setting ridiculous bail and letting people out on bond and bail bond. And I had a story I was going to read earlier, but we probably don't have time now, but four different people. If you go to, I'm going to tell you the website to go listen to these stories, because it's fascinating. Go to selfdefensegunstories.com. And the latest episode number 260 with Tony Simon, talks about four recent events where people were involved in a altercation where they had to defend themselves with a firearm. And the surprising reoccurring theme is Joe, criminal out on bail or posted bail pending his trial for attempted murder or assault with a deadly weapon or assault and battery or domestic violence, happens to get into another altercation involving a gun and trying to shoot somebody or rob somebody or commit further domestic violence. And, you know, it isn't until we get the resolve to fight and put those people away for long periods of time and stop making it so they can get right out on the street the next couple of days and recommit, you know, but yet we'll take someone like Kyle Rittenhouse, and I know we could beat a dead horse with that whole story, but who had a $2 million bail and did 2 months in jail pending that bail being raised. It's just unbelievable, but yet people with this recurring rap sheet and record are treated like a revolving door to go right back out on the street and commit mayhem and murder. It's unbelievable. So, you know, until we get the resolve to fight crime and actually punish criminals, the police are doing their job. They're going out there every day and dealing with the off-scouring of the earth in a lot of cases and having to deal with this. And then they're seeing them next week after their no bail or lenient bail hearing, and they're able to post it and they're right back out on the street doing what they always do. That's the way the world works these days. And we get politicians that stand up and we want to defund them. It's crazy. All right. But it's the day and age we live in. And like I said, we're in the alternate reality. Dan, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Toby Leary. How are you today?
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I think it's getting so ridiculous, the mask thing, when I see people driving around in their cars wearing a mask. And I haven't worn a mask for a long time. I have like a lung condition, and it makes it very difficult to breathe. So I've been in stores. People have called me an a-hole. I've had people surround me and like mobs of people surround me and tell me I'm threatening their life and everything. I found an old video today where Dr. Fauci in 2020 admitted that asymptomatic people do not drive viruses. So this whole idea that people without any symptoms have to wear a mask is ridiculous. And the other day I went to visit a relative at a rehab center. They were having some problems. And the woman, first of all, you had to put on a fresh mask. Then you had to have your temperature taken. Then before she would let me in, she was asking people, what is your vaccine status? Are you fully vaccinated? And then she wanted to know what specific vaccine. But I told her it was none of her business, and she let me in anyway.
Wow. HEPA laws have gone out the window, I guess. And along those lines, thanks for the call, Dan. Along those lines, I actually took a screenshot of this because I knew I wouldn't be able to find it later, but I have. The CDC admits that they have no records of any person who's recovered immunity from ever transmitting the COVID-19 virus. So somebody who is naturally immune, they've got the virus, they don't have one example of that person going on to spread the virus. Even with all the contact tracing and everything else out there. And, we should play that cut real quick, 34. This is what they used to say about the vaccine mandate. It's a little long, but we can maybe time it down a little bit.
There's been over a 20-to-1 return.
If you had put that money into an S&P 500 and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion, but you think it's $200 billion.
Here, yeah.
You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
They're really, really good against variants.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
A key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
All right. So that's what they were saying about it. And what are they saying now, Jared? Play cut 35.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmissions. We need a new way of doing the vaccine.
The level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and infected is the same level as the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person.
Reports from our international colleagues, including Israel, suggest increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early.
And if you look at Israel, which has always been a month to a month and a half ahead of us, they are seeing a waning of immunity, not only against infection, but against hospitalizations and to some extent death. The booster might actually be an essential part of the primary regimen that people should have.
Plan is for every adult to get a booster.
Unbelievable. And that goes on and on. And we know now that basically they're telling us we got to live with the booster forever. We're going to just have to keep getting it and have to keep getting it. And, you know, believe it or not, I'm not even bringing all this up just to complain about the, you know, COVID requirements as much as it is just to put out there the hypocrisy of it all. Like, you can find, plenty of cuts that say where, oh, it's never going to be a mandate. It's never going to be required. The government can't do that. And then all of a sudden it's mandated and required and you're going to lose your job. I just read the other day that the first police officer in Massachusetts, state police, was confirmed to have been let go because of vaccine status. So anyway, I digress. Tom, you're next with Toby. Do we have time for one more? Nope. All right. Well, hold on, Tom. We'll get you on the other side. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary.
He's making talk radio great again. He's Howie Carr.
Maybe you know what a zombie is.
You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm your host, Toby Leary, just filling in for Howie. He will be back after vacation, and I'm sure that, you know, many more years of Howie to come. So anyway, he's down in Florida with a much deserved vacation.
Mar-a-Lago.
And I'm jealous, I gotta say. But Tom, as promised, I told you I'd get to you after the break, so thanks for holding on, Tom. How are you?
Good. Happy New Year, Toby.
Happy New Year.
Well, I was just remembering the good old days, like when I bought my first AR paratrooper from Bushmaster out of catalog and had it delivered to Coleman's in Quincy.
The good old days.
And, you know, the good old days. You know, you could buy something on a from a catalog and just pay for it by check. And that's a long time ago, 1974.
Wow. And, yeah, those are before my days. I got to say that.
You know, but my thing is now, I mean, I have four SKSs,
mm-hmm.
but they all have built-in 30-round mags, but they're all from like 1980.
Every SKS is pre-banned. They're not making those anymore. And so, in fact, it's funny you bring up the SKS because it was my first rifle I purchased as an 18-year-old, and I love that gun, and it was great. It was a fun shooter, and they're you know, abundant. There were millions of them made, and when I bought mine at 18, it was $75, and now that same Chinese Norinco SKS is worth $500-$600.
Wow.
Yeah. You still have them? Do you still Do you still have the AR that you bought from Bushmaster?
Oh yeah, I do. It has a folding aluminum stock and a rock maple, you know, foregrip.
Really? That sounds interesting.
Wood. Yep.
Wow, that's a very interesting. So that sounds like one you got from from Bushmaster.
From Bushmaster in Maine, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I know Wyndham Weaponry, who took over from Bushmaster after they were acquired from Remington, it does stuff like that as well with the wood furniture and everything else. So it's pretty cool. But then I appreciate you being a gun owner still in the great state of Massachusetts, Tom. And thanks for the call and happy new year to you. And I appreciate you, sticking with us here in Massachusetts and not running and hiding like all the rest of those people who flee to Florida or flee to, you know, some other free state or Texas or whatever, even though I don't fault them. But thank you guys for joining me. This is Toby Leary. I've been filling in for Howie Carr, and we'll see you again soon, hopefully. Take care and God bless, and Happy New Year.